as we stand together, we shall see our nation taking its place where it should be spiritually. That's where the nation, our nation needs to be spiritually. You know, there are churches up and down the country, massive brick buildings, and they are standing there for one reason: to declare that God is the one who is in this nation, that Jesus is alive in this nation. And that's why those churches are there. Have you noticed that next door, every time you see a mosque, they seek to put their crescent higher than the local church? That's deliberate. Do you know why? Wants to put you down. It is Satan who's saying, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. It's a satanic thing. But guess what? I've seen the end of the book, and Jesus is still on the throne. But he is only coming back for a victorious, glorious church, and we need to get there. And do you know how we get there? We get there like they did in Acts chapter 2. You find in Acts chapter 2, they were afraid. The disciples were, 120 of them were in the upper room, and they were gathered together. They were praying. Why were they praying? They were praying because they were afraid at that time. They were afraid of what might happen. They'd just seen their leader crucified. They'd seen hundreds of people being crucified along the way by the Romans, just for the slightest thing. And there they crucified their leader between two thieves. And they were afraid. Who's next? You know, they had to listen to what Jesus said, and they were trying to focus in on what Jesus had told them. Now, you new believers, you've asked Jesus into your heart and life. That's great. The process goes on further. You're a believer. Now we need to make disciples, and we're in the process of disciple one another. And Helen's asked me to share on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you turn to 1 Corinthians, if you want, or just make notes from what you can see. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. And this is just part of the scripture. To another, divers kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. And Jesus said, this is not script, this is what Jesus said earlier on in Acts. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not just purely about speaking in tongues. The church has brought it to that point and said, do you speak in tongues? And has reduced it down to that level. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. The anointing and the presence of the Holy Ghost is for one reason, first of all, is to endue you and me with power. Amen. I was shy and timid when I was at school. Quiet, weren't I? Can't ask my mum anymore because she's not here, she's gone to glory. But my sister knows. I was quiet, reserved, shy. Do you know, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I began to change. A process of change started in my life. Because God begins to endue you with power. And there is a changing. It's not a changing of me outwardly, but it is a changing of me inwardly, that there is the anointing and the presence and the power of God that begins to give one a boldness in the spiritual realm that stands against the wiles of the devil. And so the anointing of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is something that we need to move on to. We need to encourage each and every believer to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist makes this statement in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Then cometh Jesus to Galilee, to Jordan, unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou unto me? And Jesus said unto him, Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus went and was baptized, went up straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him. Something very interesting. This happened to Jesus, that the Spirit descended upon him. When we move into Acts, we see that the Holy Ghost came and indwells us. That's the first time in Scripture, that's the first time ever that the presence of God started to indwell a person. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon them. It was an outward meeting. In the Garden of Eden, it says there that God came into the garden and he met. There was a point of meeting. Adam and Eve met with God. And they were strengthened and they were encouraged there. When Samson slayed the Philistines, what does it say? It says that the Spirit of God came upon him. Didn't say it came within him. Didn't say it filled him. It just came upon him. And then it would leave him. It would fade. And as you read through the Old Testament, that was the pattern. Well, you know, Jesus starts a progress of changing the pattern. Amen. For you and I as believers. There's a process of change. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 14, and Jesus entered into this in the power of the Spirit into Galilee and went out the fame throughout all the regions about him. Jesus came back out of the wilderness experience, strengthened and empowered in the Spirit. And he came back. And he came back how? In power. Not in weakness, not in frailty, but in power. Not in power physically. It's not what he's talking about. But in power spiritually inside. There was a strengthening that went on within him. There was something that happened that changed his physical being. There was a spiritual dynamic going on. But suddenly, the Holy Spirit was within him. You see, many people say it's blasphemous, you know. If you say that when Jesus was a little boy that the Holy Spirit wasn't in him, well, I'm telling you, it wasn't until he was baptized that the Holy Ghost came upon him and came in him. Because at that point, that was the time when it was an anointing for ministry. It was an anointing for ministry. He'd been brought up as a good Old Testament Jew. He knew the Word of God. But knowing the Word of God and knowing of God is no replacement for having Jesus in your life and then having the Holy Spirit come into your life. There's no replacement for that. And so we find that Jesus comes out of this Galilee into the wilderness, from the wilderness situation, and he comes and he begins to minister to the sick. And we could go through all the scriptures, but that's not why we're here today to do that. Let's move on. St. Luke's Gospel 24 and verse 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high." That's the statement I started off with. That's what Jesus wants for you and for me. He wants that you will have power and authority. He wants that you will have power over sickness and disease, over demons, over circumstances. He wants you to walk in the same way that he walked spiritually. He spoke to the winds and the waves and they obeyed him. You think, "Oh, that can't work for us." It can. It can. I was once with a pastor, and we were running late. I had to get to pick my car up to go and collect my wife Grace from work, and we were running late, and he always ran his car on fumes. And we were coming to the village where he lived and where my car was parked, and we were coming up this long hill. And we were probably maybe three miles away from where the car was, and suddenly his car began to splutter and cough. And I said, "What's wrong?" He says, "We've just run out of fuel." Well, he'd already made me mad that afternoon because he'd made me late. So I was annoyed. And so in righteous anger, I just lifted my hand and I struck the dash of the car and I said, "In the name of Jesus, go!" And this thing just burst into life and carried on and got me to where my car was. I got out and closed the door. I didn't care whether it stopped or what. I'm not interested. It got me to where I needed to be. But I was, you know, there was a righteous indignation about it that, you know, I'm not having this. I'm not putting up with this. I don't know whether we had three or four angels behind us giving a good shove up that hill, but it took off up that hill and we arrived at our destination. And Grace was glad because I was able to pick her up on time from work. Now that's just one instance. I've prayed other times when it's been the weather forecast has said it's going to rain and I had to do a job for a week and it was outside. And it never rained during the 8 hours of work because I went, as it started to rain on the morning, I stood there and said, "In the name of Jesus, I take authority over that rain and I bind it in the sky. And you will not rain on my parade until after 4 o'clock. Glory to God." And guess what? It didn't rain. It didn't rain. The winds and the waves obeyed him. What was I doing? I was copying what Jesus did. I was being an imitator of Christ. You can only do that when you get into the depths and the realms of the Spirit of God. Jesus is Spirit in that sense. John's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 21. "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you.' And when he said this to them, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Ghost.'" He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Now this is Jesus preparing his disciples. This is Jesus preparing his church. And he's breathing on you, saying, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Wow. He's doing it to empower you. He's doing it so that he might give you the strength to challenge situations and circumstances, that you will stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. He's doing it so that, like when Peter was in prison, and suddenly an angel comes along and pokes him in the side and says, "Come on, we're going." You and I would have said, "I'm bound, there's a door, I'm locked in, where am I going?" You see, by faith he rose up. Amen. The door opened. He says he got to one door and it just opened up. First automatic door. You know, with an automatic sensor. Yeah? You see, everybody thinks all these things are new. You know, God had them 2,000 years ago. He's the inventor.
Yes.
Automatic opening doors. Glory to Jesus. You know, these are the things that we think we're smart. God gave the revelation. God gave it to us. And then he gets to the gate and knocks on the door where the girl is, and she's so excited, you know. She goes back and tells him, forgets to let him in. This is the state of the church. They're all praying for him. And they're praying in unbelief. Can't be him. It's his angel. That's an interesting topic. You've got an angel that looks just like you. Assigned to you. To protect you. To encourage you. To guide you and to guard you. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and all of a sudden there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as like of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." One accord, in unity, one place, worshipping, praying, seeking God. Maybe it's out of fear, but that's okay. The thing is to seek God. We seek God first. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And we have to seek the kingdom of God. And for you new believers, and for you that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, we need to stir up that gift. Stir it up. Don't be ashamed of the gift that God has given to you. It is given to you, the Holy Ghost is given to you for a very good reason. And I'm going to get to that just shortly. But it's given to you for a very good reason. And we need to realize that. And we're talking also with the new believers group about baptism in water. You know, you could... People have been baptized, we bury the old man, and Helen's gone through this, and they can come up speaking in tongues.
Amen.
Through the power of the Spirit of God just coming upon them, refreshing them and making them new. Glory to God. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. And talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now this is where we find that Peter has been called to share the gospel, the word of God, at the house of Cornelius. And God has spoken to Peter. And so he goes and he begins, and this is the story. And he starts to share with the people. Now these people at the house of Cornelius, his family and his household, were interested. Some had already got saved, but they were seeking more of God. And in a dream, God had spoken to Cornelius and said to him, "There's a man in Joppa, and his name's Peter. Go and bring him." And it happened that Peter begins to speak and begins to tell them how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they were of the circumcised which believed it, were astonished. So what you've got there is you find that suddenly while he's preaching, the Holy Ghost comes down on these people and suddenly they begin to speak in another tongue. Now the Jewish idea in those days was, hang on, you're not of our ilk. You know, you've not been circumcised. And they were astonished. See, God is no respecter of circumstances and situation. God moves where he wants to move. And if you and I will pray, God will move through situations and circumstances. He will change the hearts and the mind of government. But it needs people to start to pray. It needs the people of God to move. It needs that we need to stand, because when those circumstances change, there needs people to stand in, to fill the gap, to stand for what is right. The church needs to begin that standing, not just having its happy clappy times together. It needs to make some form of commitment to the Word of God and to my Lord Jesus. You see, I'm committed to Jesus. I'm committed to Him. He gave His life for me some 2,000 years ago. Did you know He's protected me over the years? I thank God that He's protected me because He has a purpose and a plan for me. The devil seeks to kill and destroy. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit causes you to move in the areas that God wants you to work in. Without the Holy Spirit, we've got nothing to give. We're no different to the rest of the world. We're no different to another sect. We need the Holy Ghost in us. And so it says, as many came with Peter, because of the Gentiles, which also the pouring out of the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which having received the Holy Ghost as well? Here we find that, you know, it's suddenly that they're speaking in tongues, but hey, they haven't been baptized in water yet. Everybody seems to think, oh, well, you've got to do this process. You've got to do the steps. No. Are you hungry and thirsting for God? Are you hungry and thirsting for God? Because if you are, then God will meet your need. God will fill you. God will fill you. Full and overflowing. We see in Acts, He changed the agenda. He reversed everything. He's God. He's God. Don't try and box God in. Start to reach out for God and believe. Even today in this meeting, believe even today, where, if it doesn't happen in the meeting, when you go home, when you're praying, that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Because that is the evidence that the Apostle Paul speaks of. That's the evidence. What is the point of the Holy Ghost? What is the point? The point is that he might share and reveal the mystery of the Word of God. Do you know, people have read that book, read that Bible for the last, well, it's more than 2,000 years, and many of them haven't found the God of the book. Do you know why? Because it's written with a mystery. And you and I can find out the secrets by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. If you read Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5, it says in olden times God did not share this plan with His people. But now He revealed it by the Holy Spirit to His apostles and prophets. God keeps secrets. God keeps secrets. And He only shares His secrets with those that truly love Him. He only shares His secrets with those that truly love Him. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Because He's the one who will whisper to you. He's the one who will open up the Word of God to you. This is what it says in Ephesians. It was only as I was doing this study that as I began to read Ephesians 3 again, I began to read that Paul's saying in Ephesians here that it's the Holy Ghost that opens up the Word of God, that begins to pull back the curtain, begins to reveal. There are eminent scholars who've read this book for year on year on year, have written books about the book, have written studies about the book, and still missed the power and the anointing that is in the Word of God. That's what's happened. Dharma, bless him, he's been to theological college, got various degrees, and we love him for that. But out of all of that, if there's no Spirit, and it's just pure Word, there's nothing. We need the Spirit of God. I'm not saying Dharma hasn't got it. I didn't say that. He has got the Spirit. But thank you. We need as individuals. And verse 6 says, and this is the secret, that the Gentiles will have their full share with the Jews in all the riches inherited by God's sons. Both are invited to belong to His church. And all, this is from the Living Bible, by the way, and all of God's promises are mighty blessings through Christ applied to them both when they accept the good news about Christ and what He has done. God has given me the wonderful privilege of telling everyone about this plan of His. And He has given me, what's that next bit saying? Here we go. Back in getting used to this PowerPoint thing. I don't know what's going on behind me. Has given me the wonderful privilege of telling everyone about this plan of His. And He has given me His power and special ability to do it well. Praise God. That's what we're about to do. The anointing of the Holy Ghost in you is to give you the power and the ability to do it well. To do all things well. Praise God. To do all things well. Now, some of us have got natural talents and we can do some things well. But God wants to move us beyond our natural talents and He wants to move us into the realm of the spiritual. Can you pray for the sick and see them healed? Can you raise the dead? In ourselves, we can't. But with the anointing, with the anointing, with the infilling, with the presence of the Holy Ghost within us. You see, when Jesus died on that cross, He made it possible from then on that the Holy Spirit is then given into the vessel. No longer does God dwell on the outside like a suit that we take off, but He dwells on the inside. That's what it's about. An indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost indwelling in us. And the stirring up, the Bible tells us, stir up the gifts that are within you. Stir them up. This anointing, we were never told this. We were just told, we're having a receiving meeting, come to the meeting, we're going to lay hands on you, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. And all we went for was to speak in tongues. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I was riding a motorcycle. I had to get on a motorcycle to go home. And I had a baptism of fire. I was travelling back from Maltby, Edwin, back towards Conisbrough. And you know, you come out of Maltby and you go down that dip, there's a sharp left-hand bend, isn't there? 90 degrees just about. I forgot totally about that. I was speaking in tongues, I was having a fantastic time, and I am ripping along that road, and suddenly the road is disappearing rapidly. I have no idea how I got round that left-hand bend, but I did. And I just carried on speaking in tongues. Praising God. Hallelujah. Because I was so filled with what was going on in my life. In fact, just let me just relate this to you. On that very day, I arrived to go to this church meeting in Maltby. They were an afternoon service. And I couldn't find the church, mind you. It was typical. It was behind a bank, behind a corner. You know, you couldn't find the place. I ran up and down looking for the thing. I got a puncture in the bike tire. And so there I am. I've missed the afternoon meeting. And I've got the tire off, the wheel off. And I'm greased up to the eyes with this chain off the bike. And suddenly my pastor walks by and says, "Hello, Andrew." He says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm looking for the church and I've got a puncture." So he explained to me where the church was. So I said, "Okay." I managed to get into the meeting just about it was going to start. And the man said, "Tonight after the service, we're having a receiving meeting." And something just switched on, just like that. And God said to me, "I'm going to fill you tonight. I'm going to fill you tonight." Now, they didn't, and I knew something was going to happen. I got there and I knew something was going to happen. That was it. God, what had happened, God had said to me when I was in the meeting, God said, "I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit tonight." And I thought, "Well, how are you going to do that?" And then the man announced that we're going to have a receiving meeting after the service on a Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. They normally have the meeting on a Saturday afternoon between, you know, the two meetings. When they had refreshments, they said we'd have a receiving meeting. But no, this was on a Saturday evening. I went in there. I hadn't got a clue what the speaker spoke on. I just went in there knowing that that was my meeting with God. And God baptized me with the Holy Spirit. Wasn't a man, it was the Holy Spirit that came and baptized me in fire. And began the process of change began to move through me. And I just thank God that now, as with the Holy Ghost, He's revealing Himself. It's about, you see, the Holy Ghost wants to reveal Jesus to you. Because, guess what? The Holy Ghost has met Jesus. He's been with Jesus. He's known Jesus from His very existence. He knows God. He knows how heaven works. He knows how the principles of the kingdom work. Because Father, Son and Holy Spirit, they're there together. And so the Holy Ghost, when He comes into our lives, begins to reveal more of God. Begins to reveal more of the Word of God. Begins to reveal more of the passion and desire of God. And when you catch hold of that, you'll see God moving in power in your lives and blessing you in a tremendous way. So God wants to do this in your life. And I'm just going to finish off with just a couple of more sort of scriptures. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18. I'm going to throw this one out to you. Ephesians 3:18. And that you may be And may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should. And notice I've just changed the colour of the next bit for you. How long, how wide, how deep, and how high His love really is. I come from an engineering background. Philip does. I read this today. How long? How long? How wide? And how deep? And I suddenly went, hang on. We work in three dimensions. Length, width, and the depth. Is that not right? There was a book written many years ago by Yonggi Cho called The Fourth Dimension. How long, how wide, how deep, how high. So, and I don't quite understand this. You see, this is words to help us begin to start that thought process going on. But there is another dimension, Joan, that we've got to touch. There's another dimension that we have to walk in. And that dimension will be a dimension in the spirit realm, not in the physical. That's where we've got to go. That's where we've got to press into. That's what God has for us. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost coming into your life, starts the process that you move into another dimension. There's something exciting about this. No longer do we live in a three-dimensional world. You know? We live in a dimension, a fourth dimension. There is something else that we've got to take hold of. There is something else in the realm of the Spirit that we have to get our hands on. Amen. And spiritually, that's what God wants to do. We've missed it. Because what we've done over the years, and I was, when you went for your baptism in the Holy Ghost, was you going to speak in tongues. Well, I want to just encourage you beyond that. You're not, when you seek God for the baptism in the Holy Ghost, it's not about speaking in tongues. It's about being endued with power. It's about being endued with the wisdom of God. It's about it being endued with the mind of God. That's what the Spirit is about. That's what the Holy Ghost is about. That your thoughts are not my thoughts. His thoughts. You're going to have God's thoughts. You're going to have God's way. How do you get that? You get that by that inner knowledge of the Holy Ghost in your life. That's what you get next. And to experience His love for ourselves. Though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully understand it. And so at last you will be filled with God Himself. That's what you're going to be. You're going to be filled with God Himself. Ephesians 4:20. Now glory be to God, who by His mighty power at work within us, is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask, or even dream. He's infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hopes. This is what God wants for you and me, to move us on. And finally, there are three types of tongues, if you want. One is when people receive the Holy Ghost, they speak with tongues as an evidence of their baptism. 2, when you are in a prayer meeting and you're praying in the Spirit, never seek the interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14:12. It's a spiritual language, but it's not a gift, but it's adoration unto God. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, He speaketh with a tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth, but in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. That's what we're doing. And thirdly, tongues for interpretation. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. And to another workings of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. Tongues and interpretation are for the bringing forth of the revelation of the Word of God and bringing power to the church. It's about bringing power to the church so that there will not be any spiritual lack. It's about bringing liberty.
Yeah.
It's about lifting up the saints. And filling the place with the glory. That's what it's about. This place has to be filled with the glory of God. That's what it's about for you and for me. And so I just want to encourage those that want to seek the Holy Ghost, and those of you that have been already filled, seek Him afresh. We'll seek Him afresh. We'll have a time together, and we will seek Him afresh for a fresh infilling and a fresh outpouring, that, you know, you will receive the mysteries of God in your life. Glory to Jesus. I trust you've been encouraged today and blessed. You know, it's a challenge sometimes, and we have to press through. God is on the throne. Hallelujah. Amen.